Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football's Family Podcast. And the one thing about this show that I like doing is I get to see people with their hobbies and people with their interests and just things that are just neat on the surface. And when you get to talk to people, they get even neater. So I've got a guy. Would you like to introduce yourself tonight?
Yeah, I'm Chris LeMay. I live in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
So, yeah, he is in God's country here. He's a Tennessean. It kind of hurts to say that after what happened yesterday with the Colts winning the way they did. That hurts me on the inside. It does. It does. But Chris, yeah. you have an interesting hobby. Would you like to explain it?
Yeah. If you remember electric football games, they were real popular in the 60s and 70s. And I got one when I was a kid. I got one when I was about 12, 13 years old. And that was in 69 or 70. And of course I played it then. I had about six more teams. I got a set that was the AFL set with the Jets and the Chiefs. And it's the only AFL set that they ever actually made. And then I bought about four more teams. I mean, like say the Dolphins, the Vikings, Steelers and the Colts were all the popular teams during that time. And of course, so I bought, and during that time, Tudor was making NFL teams. That you could buy teams in actual NFL uniforms. And so that's kind of when it became real popular. Now, the game's been around ever since 1949 was the original date of the first game. And then, of course, I played it for a kid. I played it when I was a kid for about 4 or 5 years ago. Old. And then, of course, I got away from it. But then when I got older, about 25 years ago, and I was 40 years old then, I saw the game again on a Toys R Us shelf. And I just mentioned to somebody that I used to have one of those when I was a kid. So they bought it for me for Christmas.
Well, there you go.
And I got back into it again. And two, about that time, of course, was when the computers and the internet were getting to be a lot more popular. And the company that was making them, it was originally made by Tudor Games in Brooklyn, New York. And at that time, it was owned by Miggle Toys out of Chicago, Illinois. And they had just kind of started a website and a community forum. And by getting on the website and joining the community forum, started to find out all these people around the country who were actually playing the game again. They've been, there were leagues going on. The company was starting to have, they had started to have national conventions and Super Bowl tournaments. And so in 99, I actually traveled to Philadelphia for the first time to actually play in one of their conventions and Super Bowl tournaments. So yeah, I mean, I flew from Nashville, and went to Philadelphia, and met a whole lot more people. I mean, there was several hundred people at this convention of guys who were playing, guys who were collecting. So I got involved in that electric football community of people who were still playing the game, collecting. And of course I fell back in love with it again. So being a big football fan too, and of course the Titans, they just moved to here to Tennessee. I'm kind of like you. When the Titans came here, of course I started following the Titans.
It's a sickness.
Oh, I know. And I bought every Titans team that they had as far as they were selling with electric football.
Okay. Can you, before we go any further, you were mentioning that they came with full uniform. Did you paint the ones that you had before?
No. The very first ones I had now were the ones that they painted. They were painted in a factory in Hong Kong back during the 60s and 70s. And that's the cool.
Chris, are we breaking up here? I think we have just had a moment. Let me check on this. There we go. He is back. There we go. Now, okay, so they were made in Hong Kong.
Yeah. And they were, you know, they were painting the original factory teams, or the NFL uniform teams. And you could get every, at that time, of course, all 28 NFL teams. You could get them. And then when I got back into it again, of course, they were still, you know, offering the NFL teams. And, I mean, of course, Titans, like say, I was a big Titans fan then, so I got Titans players. I got the old, well, originally the first team I got was the Tennessee Oilers when they first moved back. So yeah. I got a set of those. I even ordered a set. Me and my wife that I'm married to now, we actually got married in 2000. And I had a groom's cape made to look like an electric football field. And of course, put my Titans figures on it.
All right. See, this is what I'm talking about. When we deal with family, Mr. Chris, when we deal with football's family, that's the stories I like to hear because it makes me feel like I'm at home with you. Because on my in my wedding cake, it was Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
And so, yeah. But anyway, that's been, and there's been several other people that's done it too. But yeah, I did it. And like I said, when we got married, I had the Titans on them. On my groom's cake that was made like an electric football.
So you just be honest, you know, you're among friends here. Are you a nerd?
Yes.
Okay. See, I can relate to you. Maybe not with the electric football, but I can relate to you right now, Mr. Chris, more than anybody else right now, just you and me.
Okay. Well, I don't like to admit it, but.
Oh no. Embrace it. If anything has changed that.
My daughter called me an electric football nerd.
No, embrace it because the Big Bang Theory made nerds cool.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, when it comes to electric football, yeah, I'm a nerd.
Okay, good. Now, let me ask you a question. All right. So it's on a football field. Uh-huh. Do you have 11 on 11?
Yes.
So it's big. The field is big enough for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then
the field is like 39 inches by 21 inches.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah, that's a good size field. Plus and now.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Plus now guys make custom game boards. They build their own game boards now that are like 24 by 48 inches. Then I've even got a custom one that I built that's 60 inches by 30 inches.
That's a big
it's starting to get back up closer to the actual scale of the figures because the figures are like 1 inch tall.
So you make your offense, you make your defense. How do you play the game?
Of course, like I say, where it gets the electric from is it's got an electric motor on the game board underneath it, and you turn it on and it vibrates. And the players have bases on them that are actually what make them move. So you can actually set up plays. So, yeah, you set up an offense and you set your guys up in a defense. And if you're playing somebody else, of course, you have two guys playing. And, you actually can run actual football plays. You have a little quarterback that can actually pass the ball and kick the ball. It's really about the only sports board game where the players actually move, and you actually have to have some skill to actually be able to pass the ball, kick the ball.
I would say so.
Yeah, but again, you know, it and it of course, it helps to have a knowledge of football and football strategy, because you do learn a lot of it that way. And of course, I played football when I was a kid, so I've always had a love for football. So that's where a lot of it comes into too.
Now, you said that the board shakes, correct?
Yeah, it vibrates, and like I say, the bases, the figures have a base on them underneath that have have legs on them that are you can manipulate those legs to make your players run. You know, you make them run left, you make them run right, you make them run straight. You can make them run fast. You can make them, you can get strength out of them.
Oh my
god, that's a large part of that's a large part of the game now today. The guy, there's probably 200 people that regularly play competitively. In there's about 6 regional tournaments during the year. Nashville, we've got a league in Nashville that we have about 4 or 5 guys get together every once in a while, where we play each other. And so, yeah, I mean, it's very seldom that there's not a weekend that go by that somebody's, playing electric football.
Do you change the position of each player after each play?
You have to actually set them up.
When you talk about moving left or moving right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a play clock?
Yeah. Yeah. You have a certain amount of time to set your players up. On offense, we follow football rules pretty much as we can. I mean, it gets to be a really realistic game. We have, a 40-second play clock. The offense has to sit their minute, then the defense gets like an additional 10 seconds to set theirs guys up to what the offense set up.
How do you throw the ball?
There's a quarterback figure that actually has an arm that you can pull. You have felt footballs. You have little felt footballs that you can actually place on the arm and actually throw. You pull the guy's arm back, and he actually can throw that football to hit a player. And like I say, if you have a receiver, if the ball hits the receiver, then it's a completed pass.
Oh, so he doesn't have to catch it.
No, it's just got to hit him.
I didn't know how that would work.
It does have to hit him, if it hits the defensive player, it's an interception. It's a very realistic game. I mean,
so what's a good pass percentage? Completion percentage.
Most guys that really practice it a lot, I mean, they're hitting 75% of their passes most of the time.
Okay, I'm out. What can you do?
Man, I can do close to that. I'm a pretty good passer. I've done it long enough.
Teach Will Levis. He needs some help. He needs some receiving help is what he needs.
Yeah, he needs some receivers more than anything, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I say, it is a very realistic game. Whereas, like other games, you're usually rolling dice. Most
right.
When you're playing the other football board games, you're just rolling dice and consulting charts that give you the result, or cards that give you the results of the play. Where this actually involves, it involves skill, involves actually playing the game.
You said that you had the AFL. Do you still have those figures?
Yes, I do. Still have it.
So you got, do you have all of them, all 32 teams now?
Not entirely. When I started collecting, I was collecting more the game boards than where it was anything. Now, I do paint the figures as well. I paint and sell the figures. And I have painted every team, every NFL team, every AFL team, every world football, all the way back. World Football League, USFL, Canadian, colleges, I've painted all of them, but what I collect mostly is the game board with the original figures. And so yeah, I've got several. Like I say, 1967 is when they started doing the NFL teams. So yeah, I've got several. I haven't counted lately, but yeah, I've got a lot of teams. Now, again, I don't know that I have every NFL team. I'd have to.
All right, the boards. You have some behind you?
Yeah, there's some there.
Do they have the team end zones? Are they specific for teams, or are they just different shapes, or what?
Most of the old game boards just say either NFL or AFL. Now, I do actually have a game board. The game set that I got in 97, I have actually added bumper stickers to it. Tennessee Oilers is in one end zone, and of course the Titans is in the other end zone. So I got bumper stickers that actually have the team names on them on that game board. And then, yeah, I've got a Titan logo on it. So yes, you can customize them and get team specific. They do, like I said, they're still being made. The company is actually Tudor Games. The company is actually still in business and still making the games.
That surprises me. But, Mr. Chris, I think maybe not so much now when I'm thinking about it, because did you ever play any of the football games on the Nintendo?
No, very seldom. I did not get into the video games very much.
I started out with – I didn't have the boards like you. I was not aware of the boards until much later on, and they looked absolutely awesome, and I watched people play it. But I got into Tecmo Bowl, the original one.
Yeah.
And that to me was my introduction to gaming. But looking at what you did and what you're doing – it's just amazing to me how lifelike it can be, where you have defense, you had offense, you have special teams. How do you kick the ball?
That figure, that the passer quarterback figure.
Yes.
He actually has a leg on it too that will kick the ball. It's made in a way that it's kind of a spring loaded type leg on it that, yeah, you actually put the ball on a tee. And yeah, again, you just pull him back and his leg will pop loose from kind of, it's a spring action type thing that kicks the ball. But yeah, you can actually kick the ball too.
Well, I forgot what I was going to tell you a second ago, but I remembered it now. It comes with age, right? There are still tournaments now with Tecmo Bowl, and that's been out for 30 some odd years, almost 40 years. And there's still, there's still a core group of people. So I talked to somebody a couple of years ago, and he told me that he knows how to defend every pass and every run game, and he competes in tournaments. I'm like, well, gracious. And you're telling me that their tournaments still. I love how niche this market is, but how people keep it alive.
Yeah.
It's just neat how people kind of get to something to stick with it.
Yeah, now, and you look at, like, say, in electric football, like, say, it was had its heyday and was the most popular during the 60s, late 60s, 70s, on up into the 80s. And the guys who actually are that in the competitive part and playing it more now are that age. I mean, you got most of the guys now that play it are ranging anywhere probably from 45 up. I mean, I'm 66, and I've been playing it since, like say, I played it when I was a kid. But, yeah, I've been, as far as playing in the league and competition-type level, yeah, I've been playing that ever since I was 40 years old.
Is that trophy behind you a result of one of your tournaments?
No, that's actually somebody else's.
No, you can take a claim to it. Say, yeah, I want to make it.
Yeah, sure is. Mom. No, I actually I had a guy donate. Like I say, I started – museum,
yes.
National Military Football Game Museum. I actually set up a nonprofit organization to that, and so I got a guy to donate that to me. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the guys that he's won a whole lot of tournaments. So yeah, that's actually his.
No,
Me personally, I've only won one or two games in the whole time that I've been
but
playing.
You're playing against people who are serious.
Yeah. But I mean, solitaire, playing it solitaire is a real big thing too. People just playing it, you know, themselves, where one person is actually coaching both. We call them coaches, miniature football coaches. And so, yeah, you're actually coaching both teams. And it's just more or less, yeah, it does the way I play it. I mean, we kind of favor the offense more than we do anything. And we're just kind of, the defense is just kind of there to hopefully stop whatever we're doing.
How do you tackle?
When the guys are moving, you actually have to designate a ball carrier, the guy that's carrying the ball. And when the defensive player just hits the base of the guy with the ball, that then he's tackled.
Oh, so you basically honor system. He hits, and that's it.
Yeah. Now there's like, I mean, there's a lot of different variations on that. I mean, there's like any touch tackle, where, you know, any part of the base that gets touched, or sometimes it has to be from the front. Like I say, it's one of those games that if there's 100 people playing it, there's 100 different ways to play it. They've come up with, you know, all these different variations of how to play it. Now, like I say, I mean, electric football is my main thing, but I've played the other board games, football board games too. I mean, I actually have a collection of those also, from back when one of the ones that I played when I was a kid was Sports Illustrated. Was a Sports Illustrated football game that had the charts and the dice and stuff that you roll.
Good gracious. When you start have to bring in charts, that's when I start saying, you know what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course, it's you know, kind of like Stratomatic and APBA, football and baseball, those
numbers. Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a whole nother group of people that play all those games. It's just a big thing. Like I say, you know, I don't know the exact number of how many people are involved in electric football right now. I know on the main competitive circuit, where the guys that play in these high competition leagues and tournaments, there's at least 200 people that very actively play it that way. But then you're looking at another, you know, I don't know, 500 or more who play solitaire or who are collectors. I mean, when you start talking about electric football, you've got the people who actually play it. You've got the people who collect it, you know, collect the game boards, the figures, who actually paint the figures and sell them. 3D printing has become real popular with the figures, you know, 3D printing the figures. And painting and selling them. Of course, we use decals. I mean, you know, I mean, it's gotten very highly detailed. I mean, the figures actually have face masks, chin straps.
Gracious.
I mean, you know, they're recreating full, whatever current team is, you know, if somebody's got a Titans team, they've got the full current roster of, like, you know, 53 players.
I don't know if I'd claim that. Do you have a Javon Curse figure?
Yes, I do. I do.
Actually. Oh, is he available? Can you show him to me, or is he hidden? For the kids, Javon Curse was probably one of the best defensive ends to play. You know, he played for a short period of time for the Titans. He played twice for them. And he is one of my favorite Titans of all time. Played for the.
I don't know if you can see this right
now. All right. Yeah. He's got. Oh, I see Frank Wycheck. I see Bruce Matthews. Yeah. There's T Rack. Can you bring it down just a little bit, Mr. Chris? Can you just bring it down just a notch? There you go. There you go. Now pull it back. There you go. Okay. Perfect. Let's see what I got there. That is neat. Is that Chris Davis there, number 84?
Yeah, I think so. Let's see.
Or is that
Dane Albert? let's say Albert Hainsworth.
That's he's I see 27. That's Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie George, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. I don't see Derrick, but I'm just envious of this because it looks like you put a lot of time into that if you painted them.
Well, I actually had this is actually one that somebody else did.
Oh, okay. Well, they put a lot of time in it because that's the newest jerseys.
And like I say, I concentrate on, I collect the game boards, but I'm into making electric football kind of as an art form. Because the figures, again, anybody that collects a figure, they're highly detailed. People display them. I actually did last January and February. I did an
Right, we're frozen again. He'll come back on here in a second. He had those figures in a case, and I was going to ask him, can you handle them or do you need to wear gloves? All right, there you go. You're back.
Actually, okay.
Do you handle them with gloves? I mean, I'm serious. I don't know. Do you handle them with gloves or would that smudge the paint if you use your fingertips?
No, you can actually handle them. Now, like I say, I've got this one in a display case. And like I say, this is a custom Titans team, all-time greats, basically.
It'd be unfair. It would be unfair to have Eddie George and Derrick Henry on the same team. Good gracious. How awful will that be for other people? Well, Mr. Chris, can you tell us where we can see your work, your museum?
Yeah, I have a website. That's called the National Electric Football Game Museum. And the address is nefgm.org.
Let's try that again. NEF.
GM.
GM.
.org.
All right. I will put that link in the show notes.
Yeah, and that's my website. That's the website I started 4 years ago to kind of showcase my collection.
Well, I can't wait to go in there and look. Mr. Chris, thank you for coming on. And if I'm ever in the area, you'll see me at your door knocking on your door. Who's this crazy guy? I'd love to see it.
Oh, you're welcome to come anytime. Like I say, here in my house, I have my bonus room. It's set up with game boards all the way around the walls.
that is the benefit for being without kids at your house, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just me and my wife now. So,
well, thank you so much for coming on. Let me just say this real quick. You're a delight to be on here, and I'd love to have you back on soon if I can.
Oh yeah, sure. Just like to say, let me know anytime.
All right, and thank y'all for listening to the Footballers Family Podcast.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.